Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Up Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Corulla. We are going to jump right into this interview with fellow USC alumni.
Yes, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know, right.
It's nuts. I was just over there today, actually.
What?
Yeah.
What are you doing at USC?
I actually had another radio show this morning that recorded at USC, even though it airs in Malibu. But it was super random. But I haven't been back there really since. I mean, I've been there.
You always notice new buildings.
Like, oh my! It is insane. Yeah. The University Village is like now has a Trader Joe's. It's got like a vegan.
I never saw that.
Thing.
Is that across the street?
Yeah.
What?
It's got like a full-blown huge grocery store now.
Not fair.
It's so not fair. I was so mad.
So you probably had like, the 3-2 market like I did.
Yeah. Not great.
It's like my friends would be like, oh, I went to this store. Like at another school. I'm like, our market's not that great.
No, we had the little like, it almost looked like little kiosks or something, which some of them were good.
The big deal was the Ralphs. Like the Ralphs opened when I was in school.
Okay, yeah, we had the Ralphs on Vermont. Yes, yeah. Yes. Now Trader Joe's, TJ's is there. I'm like, wow, that's nuts.
And they've got like chefs doing restaurants on
campus. No, they have like restaurants. They've got nail salons. They've got facial studios like to get like facials on the go. You can't make this stuff up.
That's only at USC.
Only at yours, right? Where you have a facial studio. It's like, it literally said like the Face House. And it was like,
you're like, okay, easy.
I'm like,
let's relax.
And there are apartments over all this stuff. And I'm like, I can only imagine the rent on those apartments. Like, if you want the one right over Trader Joe's, like,
well, and that's also the funny thing.
They're getting you the prime.
I remember what the film school looked like. It actually looked like it is now when you went to school there. But
yes.
I remember what it looked like before that.
What did it look like before that?
It was just like a rundown buildings. It did not look that happening. And then they built that big. Wall.
Now it looks beautiful.
Yeah, now it looks like a film
studio. Yeah, and there's like the statue.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the film building today too, and it was like, it looks amazing. It's like state of the art, everything in there.
But you know what? It's cool to see your school kind of like
growing.
But you're always just like, in my day, we didn't have escalators on the, you know.
It almost threw me off as to like where I was at on campus because it just looked so different. And so I was like, what part of campus am I on? And then I realized like, oh, that was that part that I spent a ton of time at, but like it completely is
like,
not even
Commons
the same.
Looks totally different to me.
Yeah,
when I walk there, I'm like, where is? I feel like I'm like I've never been there before. You know?
Yeah, it's weird, but it's beautiful. It looks beautiful. I mean, they're doing a great job. It looks like a
they're doing the right work, right?
Right. It looks nice.
Speaking of doing the right work, you have been hustling so hard.
Yes.
The studio audience is going to give you a round of applause.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I am flattered right now.
So you've been working an album, music videos. You've been writing a ton. I love that, like, you know, your Instagram post shows you writing, like, no filter.
Totally.
Your social media is such a filtered, you know, kind of medium. And it's great when you see somebody like, that's using social media. So it's like real.
I try to keep it real, especially in the stories. Like, I'm like, I want you to get to know who I am truly as a person.
Right.
And I want to practice what I'm preaching too. Because in a lot of my music, I talk about vulnerability and, you know, showing what's not on your highlight reel and being transparent as a way to deeply connect with others. And I'm like, if I'm not doing that, then what am I doing? Right. Yeah. So I'm like, I have to at least, sometimes I have to check myself and be like, why am I trying to make this so perfect?
But you know what? Yeah. That's a rarity. It's like weird. Like that's not what most people use social media for now.
No, it's kind of nuts. Yeah. It's,
you do it in the right way. You definitely, you're active in the right ways. And I'm like, she's working the system for
I try to get creative. Like fans, I have, I have this thing called Nice Guy of the Day where the people will submit guys that they think should be nominated or should be accepted.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like I'm trying to do things that get people involved that also have to do with like the messaging of what I'm saying as opposed to just me being like, here's a selfie. Right. You know, although that's fine too. There's a place for
it. There's like that's hard. It's hard for me to do that. And you're better at it because
I would rather take a photo or something when it like if we're doing this or something like then I'm super about it. But like I'm not super into taking photos of myself just at home by myself or like I like you know I'm kind of an introvert and extrovert.
Yeah.
So, or no, I should say I'm an extroverted introvert. Yeah. I'm more of an introvert,
I get it.
I'll show you what's happening like when I want to, but
are you like not, I'm not going to show you everything all the time.
Yeah. I don't feel the desire to like constantly be getting ready and made up and dressed up for like pictures all the time.
Well, and let me ask you this, I don't think I've ever asked a female about this because like social media with females is like, it can be this ridiculous process for people to get seen or heard or. Like, how do you view that as a female?
Great question. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of my friends will say that there is like a game to be played, particularly as a woman, where they're like, I have to, you know, get all made up and do my hair and Facetune my selfie. And I have to, you know, post a bikini shot just because it's like a thirst trap to get people to follow my page. And it's so funny because there, you know, I can understand like where that pressure comes from. But I think that I've noticed and something that I've heard around, you know, from just talking to people and their stories is that there's a difference between having a lot of followers versus having followers that are engaging with you for the right reason.
Right.
Because I even heard the story where this girl who had 3 million followers partnered with some clothing brand and they designed and they developed all these clothes for her and she only sold I think like 30 t-shirts or something and they like went hardcore in because they're thinking like
this girl's got so many followers.
Yeah, but they weren't, and she did have followers, but they weren't following her for that reason. They were following her because she posted like all these pretty bikini pictures and like nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't always translate. And I'm seeing that more and more and more from even just like people I'm booking on shows or things like that, where just because it seems like they have this like massive, you know, social media audience, their followers are not coming to show up for their music. Like they're not buying their pre-sale tickets. They're not necessarily, you know, going and streaming.
Well, I love that you're also like, you're elevating how you promote because that's a big part of it too. It's like when you're promoting an album or your shows or a song or a recording, whatever it is, or a video, it's like, yeah, it can be, you know, you see girls like, oh, they do like this sleazy thing. And it's like, the way, there's a music video. It's like, that's like a cheap way to promote it. And I like that you do it in a way that's like, I'm going to keep it classy. I'm going to keep it about the art. I'm going to keep it
about the music.
It makes such a difference and people notice.
I like to come up with like a creative, intelligent plan that plays into it. And even if that means like it's a slower build, I'm noticing that the people that are following me are there for the music and they're really engaged and they become like super fans. So to me, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I would rather be able to sell out a venue with like a 1,000 super fans than have like 4, you know, million followers that only are liking my selfies.
Yes.
Not that there can't be both, you know, I'm sure there are some people that have found a way to bridge the gap, but there's a lot that are not, you know,
thing is it's like, when, you know, as a performer myself, it's like at first you just want to always put like the strategic pictures of like shows that are packed or like you're at a great venue. Or now I'm at the point where I'm like, I have nothing to prove. I don't care if there's 4 people in the audience or 400 or 4,000.
Yeah.
If it's
400,000.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Like to me, it's like if I'm excited about whatever it is, then whoever's going to be excited about it is going to be excited about it and know about it or be aware of it, or you know what I mean?
So I completely agree with you.
Targeting your audience in the right
way. And I'm learning that too, where I'm like, okay, I can share some more moments that are not necessarily me at my like peak, you know? Right. And that's when people, I think, connect because they can relate sometimes if you're honest. Whereas it can be tough to relate to someone who's just like, constantly like, I'm doing so well, you know, because right. we're not all in that spot all the time. So it's a balance and I'm figuring it out. And I can see where the pressure comes from for sure. Bringing it back to your question where I'm like, I get it because I have done experiments myself
right.
where it's like, I went to Bali and I posted this bikini photo just solely because I was actually, you know, in Bali and it got,
which doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. Right. And it was a beautiful scenery with a waterfall. And like, it wasn't just like me on my couch in a bikini right, or whatever, right. But not that there's anything wrong with that, but it wouldn't be my inclination to do that. But right. since I was there, I posted it and I was like, man, I got like, I think it was like 70% more likes wow. and comments. Like it was like my most commented, most liked photo out of like everything I've ever posted.
I'm going to just use that card when I'm in Bali.
Yeah, right. And so it's like, in that moment, I was like, ooh, I can see why these people are doing this because they're thinking, oh, this is getting, you know, getting yeah. people interested. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go then listen to your single.
And that's so. That's the hard part is to bridge the gap between like, hey, you're liking my photo to, hey, you're buying my song, you're buying my shirt, you're coming to the
yeah,
shows,
you're right.
telling people about the music. So I love the way you're promoting it.
Thank you.
But let's
Thank
get
you.
To the art. Let's get
yes,
to the artist.
Yes, I love the meat of it. Let's do artist. It. And so, I was telling my, speaking of social media, I was telling my my Instagram followers today that I was so excited to be on here with you because I was like, he's got so much experience in the industry and like, I know we're going to get to like the meat and the nitty gritty. Like, I was like, you guys got to listen.
Because I did so, and I know you felt this.
Yeah.
Not today's earlier show. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But I did so many radio shows and TV shows where it was just, they would ask me this most stupid question.
Oh, like the same things over and over. Yeah.
And it's just
yeah.
like, or they wouldn't get the bio or they yeah. wouldn't get the little blurb
yeah.
or the new album, whatever it was.
They
it
ask
was
like, for all these things that they don't actually yeah. check out.
And you're
yeah.
just like, you know, if you did your yeah. homework, then we'd be good.
But yeah. And you're like, I did my homework yeah. and sat for like an hour sending you these things and yeah. then you didn't.
So
yeah,
the funny totally. Thing is, it's like we started this show maybe 6 years ago and it's like, it's about the artist. It's like,
yeah, it's
and here's
beautiful.
The great I thing love I love that. About this too. It's like, we'll put like an Oscar winner, a Grammy winner, a new artist, a filmmaker, a tap dancer, all next to each other.
It's great. Yeah. I've noticed that. And it's gives,
always different.
And I love that about it. Cause I was listening and I was like, it gives you such a variety where it's just kind of creatives across the board and yeah. you really are getting like to the core of it, which I thought was super cool. Like when I was listening, I was like, man, they're asking stuff that's not just like,
just
yeah like where are you questions. From yeah whatever.
I mean, we've asked the social media service questions yeah. we're getting those out of the way
yeah
let's talk about you as an artist. Let me ask you this. You grew up in San Diego.
Yes.
I can tell by your area code.
Yes, look so, at that homework.
Like how did you get into music? How did you start singing? What made you want to write? What made you want to be an artist?
It's a great question. Well, you know, I've always written songs since I was a little kid, like, and I was just kind of doing it for fun with my friend, like at the park. I would be like, I wrote this song, and we would sing it. And I almost didn't realize that I was writing songs at that age until yeah. my friend recently, like, was singing a song I wrote when I was 5, and she was like, I remember this song
That's
you wrote,
because
she saw that I was doing all this stuff now, and she was like, it's so crazy to me because I remember being like 6 years old, going to the park with you, like with pretending we had a band. And like you
That's
writing,
amazing.
Yeah. And she like knew one. It was so weird because I didn't even. I was like, I forgot about that. I mean,
and
I
there's no ego too when yeah. you're writing like that. You're just
no.
like, I'm just gonna write whatever.
Well, it's funny because as a kid, I was writing some like anthem about some guy who cheated on me, and I was like 5 years old. And she's like, yeah.
But you're aware. You're like, I know this is gonna happen. At
yeah,
some point,
yeah. Like so. I like. Well, you know, I don't think I've been cheated on. Knock on
well,
wood.
That's good. That's
I know,
good.
Right? But it was funny because I think I heard some sort of like J-Lo song, and I like was like, oh, I'm gonna write that too. And then, you know, I got into acting, and so I was really coming up to LA a lot, had agents out here, was acting, was going to auditions, and eventually I went to USC. Yeah.
High five. Oh, another high
five.
Five.
Fight oh, on. Yeah. Oh. Yes. Woo. I love the studio audience. They're great.
They're very quiet quiet and controlled, but they chime in.
It's great. They're so supportive. But yeah, I mean, I went to USC for acting and filmmaking, actually, because I wanted to be in entertainment in the film world. And I wrote songs. I started writing songs about my own life in high school, which turns out is hopefully more interesting than my fake five-year-old cheated scandal. But I started writing about my own life, but I really just was doing it as a hobby and like like as a way to therapeutically just express myself. And I always was like, no, I'm going to be an actor, you know, and I was so laser focused on that. So I went to the School of Dramatic Arts, was doing some stuff in the film school, and kept writing all these songs all the time. And
You were in the school?
Yeah, while I was in school. Like, I just was like, I started to realize, like, man, I'm just writing all the time. And so I took this songwriting class at Thornton School of Music, which is like my first songwriting class ever. And everyone else in the class was like a music major who'd been playing an instrument since they were like 5 years old. And I felt completely behind, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I think I left the first class and I just like called my dad and was crying because I was like, I just don't fit in here as much as I like want to. Like, I have all these ideas, but I didn't, my parents were not in music. They were both in medicine. And I kind of found music later in life after doing some other creative things.
Right.
And starting really mostly with like top lining and poetry, you know, and coming at it from more of like that acting standpoint of like the emotional connection. And so the teacher in the class, I remember, he was like, hey, why don't you try putting guitar chords under that top line you wrote? And I was like, oh my God, like this is intimidating.
So you were playing guitar at the time?
I wasn't. No, I wasn't. Okay. And so that day I went and like got a guitar and I realized like that I could hear the chords underneath the songs I was writing like pretty instantly. It was very weird. And not that I was like able to like be some brilliant virtuoso,
but it doesn't need to be.
A writer, I could hear it. And so I came back the next week and was like so off time. You know, if you can imagine just like playing so slow, but he was like, those are totally the chords. Like, he was like, that's awesome. And so I just challenged myself throughout that class to write like every single song in the class on the guitar. And so meanwhile, like everyone else is coming up and playing these like amazing guitar things. But mine really came mostly from like the storytelling that I wanted to put over this thing. And, you know, it was a slow process of like just playing really slow. And then I just kind of wrote every single song from there on out pretty much on the guitar. And now I will venture out, like if someone sends me a track, like I've been writing for a lot of EDM artists and stuff, as a songwriter and pop artist. But, you know, the guitar just like gave me this kind of base to be able to write.
Gives you a voice.
Yeah, it allowed me to write a full song by myself. And in fact, a lot of the songs like on the record were just me with the guitar. And then I added from there, you know, but
I find that it's like also like when you start, you're going to start with these basic chords.
Yeah.
And then you're going to learn all these crazy chords and you're going to come right
back to the basic chords. Yeah.
Because it's like, I find myself like, you know, oh, now I've done these explorations of going the distance and learning new chords and crazy changes. And now I'm like, man, I just want to play a 1-4-5 progression and be able to write a killing melody on it and get back to that.
Well, some of my favorite songs have like the simplest of chords. And so I kind of kept reminding myself that when I felt very behind, I was like, listen, when I'm looking up like some of my favorite songs, like they're using chords that I know. You know, and so I kind of was like, I can do this. And then I started to learn some additional things that I would add and pepper in. But like you said, I oftentimes come back to like the basic chords that I just love, you know, like to me, my melodies. Yeah, like it's just, I have a thing that like sometimes my melodies seem to go well over, you know.
But if it works, it works.
And then, and then I tend to experiment more when I'm getting like an EDM track sent my way or a pop song. And then I'm like, well, let me just.
But I know you feel this because I feel this whenever I get EDM tracks. You're like, oh, this person doesn't know music.
Yeah, right. No, like, for sure.
They don't play an instrument at all.
Yeah, for sure. You can hear where the transitions are like kind of not always quite.
Well, let's jump into a song. What are you going to play us first live?
Let me grab my guitar.
All right.
Here we go.
I'm excited.
Thank you.
So Kara and I, we met because of the songwriting school of Los Angeles. And, you know, I was thinking this on the way over here. I was like, you know what I love about having a former student on the radio show? It's like, I know you're going to have your shit together. Like, I just know.
Because, like, the only people that take, like, classes.
Well, I didn't have to check your bio. You had all your MP3s, like, ready to go.
Right. Like, I wasn't like, oh, my God, I'm like, I don't know.
Like, yes, this is what I love. This is what I love. All right, so what are you going to play us first?
Well, I was thinking I would play you guys. I mean, I hope it's okay if I take you to a downer place.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I was kind of just feeling that, because on the record, it's actually, it's a pretty, like, up-tempo, colorful record, and this song is my personal favorite on the record, but it sounds very different produced, so I thought that it might be cool to take you guys back to the way that I originally wrote it.
That's the best,
because you can then listen to the track and you can hear like how it kind of transformed, you know?
Yeah.
But it really just, because it is, it's kind of up tempo and you maybe wouldn't quite necessarily like get to hear the meat and the
lyrics. Also love when there's like two versions of songs.
Totally, me
like
too.
Like the acoustic version that is like emotional and emo, and then the like party version, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And it's not quite party. It's still a little bittersweet, but I wanted to, you know, be like, okay, this is how it started. And it's just really pretty simple. So this song, it's about when you get out of a relationship and how strange it is to think that that person is still out there, you know, going through the daily motions of their life, but just without you. It was something that I was, like, this emotion that I was experiencing for a while, but I couldn't quite find the words for. And finally, I felt like I kind of was able to capture, like, a little bit of that feeling in the song. It's called Other People.
All right.
I was just a girl, just a girl. When I met you, you were just a boy, just a boy. And I helped you get over some things, all those things that you shouldn't do. You told me I was pretty and I didn't need no makeup. Kissed me at the prom, played a song and called it love. We were just two kids, but we thought we knew. Things have changed since then. Forgot your name since then. But I still feel just how I held you. Now we're dancing with other people. Orbiting around the same sun. You went off to school like a fool, I went with you. Started a fight more, but I swore we'd stick it through. Back then I believed you don't leave when you call it love. Things have changed since then, but I still think of when we'd swim in the ocean, waves crashing. You had those earnest eyes would kiss the tears I cried. We were just two kids, but we tried so hard. Now we're dancing with other people. Orbiting around the same sun. Now we're dancing with other people. Strange to think you're out there with someone. Sometimes I think I see your face in a crowded bar or an empty place, and then you're gone again. And I wonder what you've been up to, 'cause it's been a while since I've heard from you, and I hope you're doing fine. Dancing with other people. Orbiting around the same sun. Now we're dancing with other people. Strange to think you're out there with someone. I thought that we could be friends. I thought that we could be friends. I thought that we could be friends. No. I thought that we could be friends. I thought that we could be friends. Strange to think you're out there with someone.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Man.
You'll have to hear the album. It's very version. It's so pretty good. Different.
Well, you know what I love though? It's like that melody was so beautiful. It's just simple. There's something that I love. It's like when a simple melody can just captivate your heart. And
yeah.
Like you think of a movie. You're like daydreaming during the song. That's how I know when I'm lost in the song. When I start thinking or
you see the images.
The That's the best. I was there. I was
thank
like,
you.
I was like picturing so many different scenes in movies or like well, a movie in my life.
Speaking of movies, I actually have a music video for this song, and it was all based on the concept of wanting it to be sort of like an independent film, like an indie romance film, sort of like in lieu of like 500 Days of Summer or Juno or something like that. And so, we kind of like created a whole mood from, you know, the plot of it to also the set design and the costumes. And it all stemmed from really just like me wanting it to feel like a moment in time, you know, a film, like when you're watching the music
now
video.
You're thinking like an artist.
I was like, it's got to have this certain vibe. And it, you know, it's all like, it does come from my true life. And I tend to write from personal experience, as I think a lot of people do. And, you know, I wanted it to capture like that bittersweet feeling. Because when you get out of a relationship, you know, it's not all bad, you know, there's like you're dancing with other people, like there's a positive to that, but there's also this really nostalgic, melancholic kind of thing that I was having a hard time like really finding the words for, of like, no, I don't want to be back with this person. I am happy.
Right.
But
you're like moving forward, but it's just like drifting.
You're drifting apart and you're sort of just like, man, like, you know, we're getting older and the years are going by. And like, this was a moment in time that like, I'm not going to forget, even though you're kind of fading away sort of a thing. So
but you painted that you painted the words, you painted it with the melody, you painted it with the guitar playing. The other thing too is like, you have such a beautiful voice. I love when singer-songwriters come in and it's like they feel comfortable to play and they create moments within the song, you know what I mean? It's like you're dynamic, you're making moments in the song that give us chills. I got chills.
I love dynamic. I was just speaking like my favorite thing. Cause you know, again, like I come mostly from like a storytelling, melody, lyric background, but I love the dynamics of a song. Like even in the production process, I'm like, nope, cut that bridge needs to cut, come down. And then we need to come back like banging. Right. And like, I can hear, I think like the dynamics come the most naturally to me than some other, you know,
that's
aspects.
Amazing. Yeah. I always tell like people that's the difference between a good artist and a great artist.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I never heard that. But to me, it matters.
Everybody can just play loud the whole time. That doesn't move me.
Yeah.
It's like if you can play loud and then come down, it's like you're thinking about what I'm going to experience.
Yeah. Well, to me, like I love when things kind of cut out or I even like to do full stops and then it comes back like where I say a line.
That's right.
And it's kind of a weird thing. And sometimes I'll be playing with the band and they're like, oh, yeah, Kara puts in a lot of like stops. But I'm like, I don't want it to just be like the same energy the whole time. I want you to have like a cutout, boom, back. So I do a lot of like, it comes down and then it comes. Yeah, it's kind of fun. But yeah.
Let me ask you this. Who are some of your biggest influences?
That's such a great question. You know, I grew up listening to so many different artists. Like even earlier today, I was talking about my influences and they were kind of across the map and they were like, wow, this is a little weird. And I'm like,
I remember Taylor Swift is one of you.
Definitely one of my influences. Yeah. I grew up listening to a lot of like women, female singer songwriters that write fun music, but that I think at its core is very like feminist and empowering almost. Right. Like someone like even Shania Twain, who to me, you know, it's very fun, but she's singing like, you know, man, I feel like a woman, or like, that don't impress me, you know, it doesn't matter that you have a nice car, it doesn't, you know, like, I want the core of who you are. And to me, I love like an empowering message that's not hidden, but is within a catchy, fun melody that you don't even maybe realize that you're singing something like empowering. And so I grew up listening to like Shania, and I love Taylor Swift, and I grew up, you know, I heard her first song I heard was Our Song, and I remember being like, this is really like, I love the detail and the catchy like melody and the story and how real it feels to like what her true life might be, as opposed to just like a generic lyric, you know?
I'm going to give you a huge compliment. You ready for this?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So please. I actually hear a lot of a new artist that I just love and I just think the world of. Kacey Musgraves.
I love
her last record.
Musgraves, so like, I don't even talk. Yeah.
And like that song is like Slow Burn, like in that
fucking
vein.
Love Slow Burn. I'm sorry, I cussed on the radio. Right, I love right. that I song. Is that song is amazing. To me, that record is a slow burn too. Yeah. Like, cause I, you know, as I listen to it, I like it more and more and more and
me
more.
Too.
So it's, which is hard. Sometimes it's the opposite for songs where you're like, I love it. And then like 4 weeks later, you're like, I'm so over it. But to me, that one really was like a slow burn where I was like, I found nuances to it. And I love, like, I just love what she did with that record. I love Kacey Musgraves. I think she's a modern influence that like after I started writing, now that I've discovered her, I think I'm going to probably be like thinking of things.
What I like about her writing, what I like about the song you just played, it doesn't have anything to prove. The song is strong and it's just showing you, I'm just going to throw down without doing too much. Do you know what I mean?
And right, right.
Those are the moments where when I freeze, like I love moments where it's like when somebody can just get up and play an acoustic guitar and sing a song and it makes time stand still. Those are my favorite moments when I listen to
me
music,
too.
When I go to shows and it's like, you just did that. You're Thank able you. To do that just sitting in a radio show. And it's like, it's funny because, you know, in this environment, it's kind of sterile, you know. It's like,
yeah,
just,
it's gonna be hard on the radio.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're
like trying to create a vibe, but you're doing it. It's like,
thank you.
It's awesome that you're, you know, elevating your emotions and your songs. And
but it just goes to show you. I mean, like that's like you said, it's a pretty simple song in terms of like the actual, you know, guitar part and the chords and whatnot. But like going back to what I was saying about learning guitar late and whatever, like it kind of just goes to show you in a way that you can really like take something, as long as you have like a heart of something, you can make it pretty freaking simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
that's,
I think
that's the best.
Yeah, but I think what has to truly be there is the story. Yeah, the heart.
The story can be there, but if it doesn't have heart and emotion,
right,
it's nothing. It's just like you're just throwing an indie film at me, you know?
Right, and you're like, I'm kind of bored halfway through.
But when you give me that moment where it's like, I find that it's like when you can write a song and play it for somebody and it stirs up their emotions, their pains, their whatever they're going through.
Put their story on it.
Oh yeah, that's what I love. That's the best in music.
And I think that's what I love about like a lot of those artists who are kind of country crossover in a way, where like, because they do bring a lot of the story and the heart to it. But I did, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of like punk pop music too, like the All American Rejects, which
awesome.
I have a cover on my record of Swing Swing where
That's
I took
awesome.
Like their pop punk one and I made it totally melancholic, which I was like, I want to see if I can do it, you know, and make it a totally different song but keep like highlight the lyric. But you know, I loved, you know, I listened to like Motion City Soundtrack and Matchbox 20 and like all those kind of like Boys Like Girls,
Adrenaline
like
rock.
I like Goo Goo Dolls. Like I listened to I listened to a lot of that like pop rock, like punk pop sort of a thing. So it's funny because I don't know if that's made its way into my music, but I, you know, I think that they also bring a lot of story to it too.
Oh yeah, and it's song to song. It'll kind of rotate, you know?
Yeah,
like
it kind of gives
you... All your influences will come out in different ways.
Yeah, and people will tell me sometimes, like, oh, I can hear that once you, you know, listen closer. But, and my dad, like, grew up listening to a lot of disco and would play disco tracks.
That's
and
awesome.
And so lately, which you won't hear on this record, but I've been writing some stuff that, like, has some funk, like, funky... and I know you bring a lot of soul and funk. So I've got a lot of, like, electric guitar riffs on my new stuff that's like,
awesome.
Funky soul. Almost a little, not quite like this, but like, you know how Casey's song High Horse brings, it's a little, it's all kind of like, maybe a little closer to that genre without so much of the like, you know, talking about horses and hats and country, you know, because I'm from San Diego.
I love too that you're not trying to fit into this little door. It's like,
no,
you're like, this is who I am. I'm going to write about this. I'm going to explore this style. I'm going to explore this style. And like it or not, I don't care. That is what an artist is all about.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm
Never
trying to just
that.
Like let it be like right from the heart and let the each song live as its own like existence. And then I'm hoping that the through line is that it's me and that you're going to like get a sense of who I am as a person, even from the music videos to like whatever it is, even this radio show, like you're going to like that you'll understand what the through line is without me having to be like, it has to be all this, you know. I think my favorite artists are very like genre bending artists, personally.
Me too.
Yeah, and I even like I know you opened for him, but Jason Mraz like is an influence
awesome.
Of mine too. Like I listened to "We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things" like over and over in high school, and I mean it's kind of all a little bit all
you
over
know,
the
he
map.
He was such a class act. He's one of the only people I've ever opened for that introduced us.
Wow,
and I've never forgotten that. It's like,
man,
that little
touch
it
makes
of class,
a big difference.
It was so, it was like, yo, you are beyond amazing.
You're like a cute, you're amazing.
Awesome.
He seems like such a cool guy. He is. Like, he feels like to me that he hasn't like lost that humble, just like being who he is, you know, the guy on like the avocado farm. Like, he's one of those people that have like somehow managed to
he's
be so successful, but like not lose who he is as an artist. you know?
That's the idea, right?
Yeah, right.
Don't lose yourself.
No.
Let me ask you about going into the studio.
Yeah.
Tell me about the experience, about how your songs kind of took flight. What were some of the obstacles that you kind of went through recording them?
Oh, that's a great question.
Was it like style-wise? Was it just, you know, working with certain parameters?
The obstacles mostly were, you know, speaking on that genre bending thing, like it was kind of a bit difficult because each song is a little different from one another. And so finding like what that was going to sound like before getting in the studio was a little bit challenging. Cause I was like, listen, I don't like what I'm hearing doesn't really sound like anyone specific.
That's great.
Like, oh, this is going to be like the new Justin Bieber album. It's like, I was kind of just like, I don't know. I hear little elements of each song. And so what I would do is I made a reference list and I would be very, very, very specific about it and be like, I like this song because I like the, you know, beat of it. I like this song because I like, you know, the backing vocals here. And it was like very specific, but it wasn't like this one song has like all of what I'm trying to do.
Right.
Moments. I was really kind of approaching each song truly as an individual. And I think, you know, a lot of it was just getting in the studio. I think I wrote like 100 songs.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, beforehand. Wow. Some better than others.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But still, just the fact that you have that discipline.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, truly, it wasn't even a discipline thing. It was just, now I think it would be because now that I've been doing it, like, more and I've been taking it more seriously, like I do need to find the time to like get in there and write, because otherwise I'm just busy doing other things like promoting and whatever. But before, it was really just like I just felt like I had so much I needed to say, or like I'd get home and it'd be 3 a.m. and I would be just like writing about something that happened to me that day, like, and
that's how it inspires you,
and that's what's how it started. And now I'm much more intrigued to like get in rooms with people and co-write and like see what are the best of my brain and your brain and like can bring together. Whereas before, it was really just mostly me. But I think as I'm experiencing it, I'm like, no, I really want to like collaborate and get more people in and excited about what it is that I'm doing, as opposed to just like being my own island, you know? But yeah, it was a lot of going into the studio and being like, hey, this is the one we feel like doing today. And we would do it over the course of like a day or two. You know, one of the songs on my record was done within, we wrote it the same, it's the only one that I think that I started with like as a co-write on the record. It's called Let Me Go. And we started writing it that morning and we finished tracking it at like 11:30 p.m. So yeah, and it was totally done. Like nothing else was really added except.
That's the best one. It just like flows.
Yeah. The only thing that I wanted to add a little like backing vocal part that was like an echo kind of a thing. And it's like a 1 second thing in there. And that's like all I wanted to add. But the rest of it was like really close to being done in that day. So it kind of depends. Like some were written far in advance. Yeah. And then some happened like within that moment. Like the song I just played you, Other People, I almost didn't finish the song. And then my producer, Bill, was like, I sent him a voice memo of me just because it started sort of like a like, like a little like, whatever. And I sent him something like that with like me being like da 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 dancing with other people, you know. It was right. Really like
sparse.
Yeah. And he was like, that song has to be recorded. And I was like really? I was like it's not even done. Like I was like, I've got all these other done ones. He's like, you gotta finish it. And so it was like the day before we set to record it, when I'd written like most of it, but I didn't have the bridge. And I went to sleep and I was like, oh no, I'm recording this the next day. Like, I gotta, you know, think of something. And I was like, okay, I'll figure it out in the studio. And then it was the craziest thing, but like I had like a lucid dream, and I've never ever had another lucid dream in my life. It was nuts. And I was sitting there and I remember being like, I am dreaming right now. And I knew this. And I was like, I could see myself in the bed. And I was like, I know I'm dreaming right now. And if I want, like, I could wake up right now.
Like I can go flying right
now. Yeah, like it was like I don't have like lucid dreams. Yeah, I'm not right. Someone who's, I usually don't even remember my dreams, but I was like, I am dreaming right now. And there was this like woman that was in my dream that was singing this lyric and this melody. No joke. And I woke up and I remembered it. And that literally is the current bridge, which is the like sometimes, you know, sometimes I think I see your face in a crowded bar.
That's how Paul McCartney wrote Let It Be.
Did he really in the dream?
His mom died and she came back, or like some kind of nun came to him in a dream.
Oh, wow. So I didn't know that.
Mother Mary came to me.
Yeah, I mean, I just, and so in the morning, that was the bridge, and then the song was done. That's and then I recorded it that day. So that came apart about in a different way. So each one was kind of different, and I just wanted to like let it be. You know, I think next time I go into the studio, I probably will go in with a little more of like an umbrella, maybe genre, that expecting to like break a bunch of rules within that genre. Like, hey, this is what we're going for, but like we can break a bunch of rules, right, as opposed to like, whatever, let it be whatever. Like, I want it to have a little bit more, I think, of like a sonic through line throughout the project, but still not be like, this is a pop record or this is a country record, right, you know?
When you don't let that kind of dictate, you know, no, you don't limit it. That's yeah, the hardest thing, I think, is when you're in a studio, it's like allowing the song to just be what it's going to be and just giving it that time. Because
yeah, it can be
tough. There's also a part of you that's like, we got to get this finished. Yeah. We can't take 20 months to do this record. It has to be done in 5.
Yeah, but you're like, but I want to have the time to experiment. Right. And it's so, you know, especially as an indie artist, I was listening to this interview with Lord where she was like, I sent one of my songs to like 10 different producers and they, you know, they all did their version of it. And then I picked the best one or my favorite one. And I'm like, as an indie artist, you really can't do that. Like, right, that's not really realistic within, no. So.
And then there's no guarantee it's going to work, too.
No, right.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, she may think the sound's going to work, but it's like, at the end of the day, it may not resonate because it's not in this real kind of experience where you're in a studio and you're bouncing ideas with people. And it's there's an energy and a vibe in that moment where you're creating.
Completely, completely. So I'm curious to just try new things with like my future stuff where I'm like planning to get into, you know, studios and co-writing sessions and just see like what, you know, what can I come up with and not try to limit myself to like, it has to sound like Life in Rearview.
Yes. Well, let's play one of the songs. Let's do Let Me Go, since you were talking about
that. Oh, yeah, let's do it. Why not?
All right, here's Kara Connolly, Let Me Go.
How many times have I sat there in the dark talking to myself? Tell you I'm not like everybody else. Day after day as the sunset fades, I feel like I'm losing ground. You're holding on too close. You gotta let me go, let me go. Let me find out on my own. I know it hurts to watch me fall down hard, but you gotta trust that I won't fall. To believe in my own way. I know it hurts to watch me moving on, but you gotta trust that I'm not too far gone. So close, we used to be so close. You gotta let me go, let me go, let me find out on my own. I know it hurts to watch me fall down hard, but you gotta trust that I won't fall apart. I wanna hear my heart break, make my mistakes, choose what to believe in my whole way. It hurts to watch me moving on, but you gotta trust that I'm not too far gone. Too close. We're whole.
holding on and holding on. We're holding on too close. You gotta let me go, let me go. Let me find out on my own. I know it hurts to watch me fall down hard, but you gotta trust that I won't fall apart. I wanna hear my heart break, make my mistakes, choose what to believe in my whole way. I know it hurts to watch me moving on, but you gotta trust that I'm not too far gone.
And the studio audience, they're so supportive.
They love you.
They love me.
You know, I got to tell you, this is a proud moment for me because this is what I hope all my songwriting students get to that point.
Thank you.
And release something where it's like you think about every concept, the production, the melody, the arrangement, the vocals, the mix. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work to get from stage one to like the end. I mean, it's kind of nuts, but it's amazing at the same time. Like the success, I was talking to my dad the other day and he was like, Carol, like the true success really is like getting it done and like actually putting it out. Because he was like, you would be surprised how many people like say they want to do something and then they don't do it.
That's everything.
Yeah.
And it's also like, you know, it's easy to just record something and not put in the details.
Yeah, right.
Like, I notice the details.
Right.
Most people don't notice the details, but I notice the details.
Right.
I know the difference between good and great.
Right.
And good and great are enemies. You know what I mean?
It's like,
the opposite of good is great. It really is. So it's like, I love when I hear something like this where it's like, and I knew it was going to be like this because I saw little things on Instagram. Like, I watch my students. I'm like, who's hustling?
Who is hustling?
Because that's what it's
super
about.
Super hustle. It's like, the big hustle. Yeah.
You realize it.
It's a lot of work.
Like, it's a huge undertaking to do a record. It's a huge undertaking to record any song, let alone a number of songs.
And even coming up with like the marketing materials and like coming like up with the creative, like even for this one, you know, that I did some like cool like glasses breaking things and like stuff like that. And that took time to like get those together too. So.
And you know what? The crazy thing is like you will listen to this record different over time. A year from now, 6 months from now, 4 years from now, 10 years from now. And it is crazy. You'll forget some things that you thought you would never forget.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, oh my God, I forgot we did this. And oh my God, it'll take you back to this.
I'm excited for that when I can like listen to it and be like a little bit, detached from it. Not detached, but distant. Yeah. I think like what I was telling you about the little, during the second verse, the echo, that was the last thing we added. That echo was the last, like everything was pretty much like done the very first day from the writing to the recording, except for that little echo.
And I love the dynamics. Like it just takes you on this journey. You're like,
That changed a little bit. Cause I remember being like, hey, like that bridge needs to like come down. And then like the first, you know, that last chorus, the first half, you know, starts to build, but the second half is when it comes in like, buh, buh,
never buh. Lose this. Never, ever. I'm telling you.
I'm sure it gets people annoyed, the hell out of people.
I'll tell you this. There's going to be people that try and change you in this industry, whether it's fans that have suggestions that they have no idea what they're talking
about,
or producers or artists or musicians. I mean, I've heard it across the board, but the best thing you can do is stay true to yourself. Be that person that you are on this record and every other record. Be consistent and only great things will happen.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you.
I want you to play something else live. What are you going to play
us
next?
I was just thinking about how I lost my pick.
I've got a pick for you. Hold on.
It might be in the guitar.
Hold on. I've got one.
I really don't know what I did.
Is this all right?
Yeah, that's fine. Anything is great.
All right.
I just really don't know. I like swear I saw it here 1 second ago.
I saw it just fly out.
There we go.
Well, I'll get it for you. Hold on.
Oh, look, he's getting it so nice. It's So nice. And that actually brings me to what I'm going to play next. Oh, what did I do here? I'm going to take these off. I guess I just like completely hit this or something. There we go. Yeah, it brings me to what I was going to play next, because that was very nice of you to grab my pick. And,
no problem.
And I actually, this one feels, am I going to use this one?
Well, that's my gift to you then.
Thank you. I'm kind of like a bit snobby about my pick.
And it took me a long time to figure out. Like, if you look at the pick, yeah. It's actually my pick. Band's pick. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I totally see. Okay, well that's crazy. Rad then. I'm excited to use it. It's funny, like there's this one pick I really like that I think it's Dunlop. It's like it's gray and it has the little
hand.
Yeah, yeah. And like great. And I always am like, damn, where's that pick? And I lost it, and so now I only have these like thin ones that I don't love.
You know, it'll change too, because I used to love those, and then I used to go to the little ones, and then I went to those, and now I'm like, I love those. I don't know if I'll ever go
away.
But
yeah.
I'm sure 3 years from now I'll be like, I don't like those picks anymore.
Yeah. I used to never play with a pick, but then I realized like I actually am a pretty aggressive player, rhythm player when I'm playing, and my nails started to like break off and start bleeding, and yeah, like I would have like blood, like because I was not playing with the pick because I liked.
Yeah,
about it. And then I would start really strumming it, and like I'd be like halfway through a song, and then my nail would like come up. And I was like, I need to start playing with a pick. Yes. Like, what am I doing?
Yes, we don't want you to crack any fingers.
Yeah, you don't need blood all over your radio station. But I was like, what am I doing? So, I'm going to play you a song that I wrote. It's on the record, and it's going back to what I was saying where I did this little social media thing called Nice Guy of the Day. But it comes from this song that I wrote. And I wrote it really just as a way for, you know, to encourage men specifically to be themselves in a society that I think really highlights and rewards hyper-masculinity. Mm-hmm. And for women and men alike to, you know, pick a partner who shows them unconditional love and respect. And those are
good words. I like that.
Yeah, that's what I wrote it about. And, get those girls who always chase the baddest boys. I don't need another broken heart. I know it's been said the nice guys always finish last. That just means we can go long and hard. This ain't man up, but I want a man who's old enough to hold my hand. If you treat me right, well then so long. I don't want a guy who's just for the weekend, cause inconvenient, mix out with my best friend, cause he thinks I want him more, don't want him more. I just want a guy to open up my door, kiss me on the forehead, make me feel damn sure. I know men think it's a lie. I want a nice guy. get some when you act like you deserve some. I don't care about the clothes that you wear or the car that helps you get there, long as you show up and you care. I don't want a guy who's just for the weekend, cause no inconvenience. Just for the weekend, cause it's convenient. Heck, I'm my best friend, cause he thinks I want him more. Don't want him more, don't want him more. I just wanna get up, open up my door, kiss me on the forehead, make me feel damn for sure. Oh, man, thank you, good night. I
That song is so catchy. I gotta watch that. I don't sing it out in public. I'm like, I want a nice guy.
Yeah, right. You're sticking around.
That's great. Thank you. Kara, where are people gonna see you play live, and where can people find you online?
That's a great question. You know, I actually just had a big show at the Peppermint Club, and so I'm gonna probably be taking a little second and like going into the studio and writing more songs and whatever.
Awesome.
But I probably will have another show soon at either the Hotel Cafe or the Peppermint Club, which is where I've been tending to play.
Isn't it funny with LA shows, you have to be very strategic about where you play?
Yeah, you do. When you play, you do. It's kind of nuts. Yeah, yeah, I had to think about it, like, because I had a show at the Resident downtown at this on the same, you know, that same week that I had my big show at the Peppermint Club, and I was like, I really can only promote the Peppermint Club show because I just want to make sure that people know, like, that's the one I really want you to come out to. Like, that's the one that has the full band that, like, I decorated and I, like, made it a little crazy.
That's what it's about.
But, yeah, it was funny because someone came to the Peppermint show and they were like, I saw them after and they were like, man, I didn't realize, like, that Peppermint Club is, like, weird. Like, I didn't know that they had, like, LED palm trees and flamingos and, like...
You're like, that was all me.
Yeah, I was like, that was me. Because they were like, they're like, that's so interesting. Like, it's got such an interesting vibe. Like, so,
no. That's my vibe. Yeah.
I know. And I was like, no, that was me just going crazy, like decorating the stage.
But you know what? I love that you did that because just taking it to that next level. You're thinking of production on that level too.
Well, I wanted to think about that. Like, I was like, I want this release show to feel totally different from anything you've ever seen from me, like at Hotel Cafe. You know, even though I have had band, like full band shows, I was like, I want this to be just a different stage of it. Yeah, where you're just like, whoa, I came to this show and I did not expect Kara to like have this whole like vibe going on.
And real quick,
yeah,
before we wrap up, I want you to tell us all your socials and your website. Where can people find you online?
Thank you. Yes, you can find me at www.karaconnolly.com, which is KaraConnolly. So two O's, two N's, two L's. And my Instagram is KaraConnolly. Two O's, two N's, two L's, two Kara with a K.
This is consistent. I love
it. My, you know, well, I'm gonna switch it up on you. I didn't get Kara Connolly for Facebook or Twitter.
Damn.
I know. It's so, okay. And then it's funny because the person who has it is like, it's like a deactivated account.
You're like, I need this.
But they don't. Yeah, like they're not even using it. But like, you can't. I still can't get it.
Well, wait till you get super huge, then you can just buy it off
for however much they're asking, right? Exactly. But yeah, my Facebook and my Twitter is just MS Kara Connolly. So like Miss Kara Connolly, then YouTube is just Kara.
That's some class.
Yeah. YouTube is just, you know, youtube.com/Kara Connolly, but you can find links to all of that on my main site and you can find the record there too. It has 12 songs.
Go get this record.
Yeah.
It's produced well. The songs are written well. It's sung well. Everything's done well. I love it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
You're going to have to come back in 10 months because I always
would love to if you'll have me back.
Of course, I'm going to have you back and bring the guitar. And yeah, you were awesome.
Thank you.
High five.
Thank you so much for having me. And I wanted to say that, you know, I was in your class.
That's right.
And so, and that class was very inspiring to me because I remember
you're doing the work.
You were saying like call the venues and or you were like put. You're doing it all. You said to something that I still do. You said to put in the subject line a couple things that you are, you know, things like I'll be like, oh, you know, wrote a song for an artist that was on like a few Spotify, you know, fresh finds, or I'll do like I'll
and it works.
Yeah, and I'll put that in the you know subject line. And I remember, you know, this watching your Fade Away music video, and we were like watching it, and you were talking about creating that and all that went into it, and that part of that is what also inspired me to like want to really make music videos, which
that's
is
what it's about.
Yeah,
and it becomes another format of that story.
Yeah, because it shows your visual. Like I'm like to I'm me, so this proud. Is my like visual universe. So I'm like, you know, from the lyric videos to the music videos, I'm like, I want you to get a sense. And I remember you do that super well. So I was like, okay, well, I'm like I gotta try.
I'm a fan.
Same, me too. I'm a fan too.
I'm a very proud teacher of everything you did, and you're doing it. I'm gonna follow your career forever, so you're gonna just have to keep coming back.
Well, thank you. Same with you. I'm a big fan, and so let's keep doing it.
Well, let's do some shows together.
Yeah, seriously, let's do it.
On behalf of Ronan, myself, and Eddie, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.